What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. A head on a Dave.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. I'm joined by Ray Hickson, and we leave Rosehill and Randwick and we go up the M1 straight to Newcastle. In my opinion, probably my favourite track in the whole country, Ray. I love betting at Newcastle.
You're not alone there. I think a lot of people do. And oh, this meeting's pretty good.
Yep.
You know, it's at Newcastle. But, you know, look, I think this is... We all love Randwick and Rosehill. But,
yep,
you know, having the you know, the difference of going to Newcastle and next week going to Kembla, I think it's a nice sort of way to wrap up the bulk of the spring carnival. And
I agree, yep.
You know, Newcastle seems to be embracing it. Like, yep. I've been to all that we've been allowed to go to.
Yep.
in the COVID years. But, you know, the crowd seems to be enjoying it. This meeting seems to be fairly strong each year. And... I don't think this year's any exception. I think the Hunters held up pretty well despite a few scratches.
Yep.
Yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a sellout out there. They've got got an enormous betting ring, so get out there if there's any tickets left and get into it. But let's look at the feature race, the $1 million, the Newcastle Herald Hunter. What do you do firstly with Marzu, and secondly, who do you like?
What do we do with Marzu? Like, can we trust Marzu to produce his best this time around? The setup is the best setup he's had all spring.
Yep.
And we know he's had so many ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had wide barriers. He had a mishap that saw him miss a lead up to the Everest.
Yep.
He got knocked over in the Everest. He's finally come up with a good gate. Looks like he'll jump out of about gate 3 or 4. He's got Nash on. He's got a nose roll on, which he trialled in earlier in the week. And he's got a leader to follow. Can he put himself in that spot, you know, 2 or 3 lengths off the lead instead of, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 that we've seen him recently? If he can do that, and he's the Marzu... you know, who was competitive with all the best sprinters going through earlier in the year, well, then he's a massive chance. Can we trust him? That's the question. And look, you know, there is shades of Lost and Running about him.
Yep.
Except for the fact that Lost and Running, the year that he won the Hunter, he didn't have an ideal build into the Everest that year either, but he just kept getting better and better each run.
Yep. He ran a really strong fourth, I think it was.
He ran fourth in the Everest. Yep. He ran second, I think, in the Classic Legend that year behind Eduardo, and then came out to win the Hunter. Well, Marzu hasn't exactly had that sort of gradual rise, although his last run wasn't too bad in the.
I thought his run. I thought he was back on track. Got flushed out early, pattern against, and hit the line well.
He was out sprinted early in the straight, and then he sort of came again. So interesting to see how he handles it. Who I like? Well, I tossed and turned about this one quite a bit. I've got a soft spot for Far Too Easy, as a few people do, but I came back to going for what I know, and that's Coal Crusher.
Mm.
He's going to lead this field. Tyler Schill has had 3 rides on him now, and Joe Pride says he's a bit of a horse you've got to get to know. You've got to know his strengths and how to ride him. And he won the consolation race to this last year leading all the way when Waihaha Falls, I think, was a short price favourite, having missed a run in the Hunter that year. So I think he's had a pretty good 12 months since then. He's been competitive in his 3 runs back. He was good in the Sydney Stakes. He led them up in the winners. He only finished a quarter of a length behind Think About It.
Yep.
Who would think that in the Giga Kick? So I'm not bullish, but I think you'll give us a good side. I'd love to see Far Too Easy win. And as I said, Marzu can win without surprising us at all. I think I think those are the main 3 I'm focusing in on. There are a few other sort of fringe horses who would be interesting to see how they go. But how did you see it?
Yeah, I'm a little bit on the same path. I did find the race a bit tricky. I think Marzu definitely deserves favouritism with that profile. But I landed actually on the stablemate, King of Sparta. Thought he was actually okay weighted here, and first up his run at Flemington I thought was really solid there behind Star Patrol. And if you just look at his run in the Sydney Stakes, he opened up favourite and he drifted out to $7 because he drew barrier 15 that day. And he was just five wide, out on a limb, and just a complete forget run. I know they went at a slow tempo, but being five wide is never easy. We obviously saw Bella Nipotena come out of that race and win since. So I'm happy to be with him. I like the freshen up. He trialled really well the other day. And just around that $6.50, $7 mark, just looking for a little bit of value. So I'd be happy to back him each way. I think there's enough tempo where in this race for him to come into it. He's got a really big finish. He's got form around Think About It. Imperatory is actually last preparation. I think around the $6.50, $7, he's fair enough. And we spoke about another runner yesterday briefly, which was Military Expert.
Yep.
It's big odds. Come back as a gelding, thought trolled well the other day, gets in with no weight, 52 kilos, Rachel King up on speed. So I could have a small ticket on Military Expert as well, and you only have to go back. It started $6 in the coast, which is probably lines up pretty close to a race like this. Obviously, different distances.
Probably a step down, but different distance. But you're right. He's got a Group 1 placing against his name from...
Yep.
The Toorak last year as well.
Might need the run. I do like him more second up, but I think it was $17, $18. It could be worth a ticket there, but...
You got to treat him as a little bit of a different horse. You know, gelded, blinkers first time, you know, trialled up a few times, given a solid one in his latest one over 1,200. So it says that he's sort of there to run well.
Yeah.
And the gait, and as you said, the weight gives him that setup to do that. And we're not going to go slow in this race. Cold Crush is not going to... turn it into a sit and sprint.
Well, I saw him as tagging Cold Crush and sitting off the back and maybe just have the peel off, last shot at it. And obviously we'll have these horses running on Yamazus and King of Spartas, but just might get the perfect run in behind the speed there. So I thought there was a little bit of overs there, but we're going to... I've done it again. Usually we would have a head-to-head, but I quite like the Beaufort. I think there's just a few different angles. There's a couple of improving types. Like, what do you do with Canberra Legend? It's the import, it's favourite again, and I thought it probably needed to run there first up. New Merion, it's got Group 1 form lines. But the one I've landed on is the home tracker, Skylab.
Skylab. Yeah, you can make a case for him.
Yeah, I just think this has been his target all the way along. You look at his last start, he wasn't suited to the race shape, and then I thought he was building into the race very strongly and then just had no luck over the final 100 or 200 metres, actually around the seventh fastest last 200 of the day with all that interference. So I think he's ready to peak. Jason Collett, I think the track rating, do you think it would just be a good four?
I think it would be a good four. I mean, I haven't really... Newcastle could get an inch of rain and it would still be close to a good track. I'd anticipate, it'll be pretty fair.
Yeah, I like Skylab there, and I do respect, though, the import Canberra Legend. I think we'll improve from the run, but happy to back Skylab each way.
Yeah, well, look, obviously we're going to trust the Rosehill Cup as the lead-up race, aren't we? Because it was a bit of a bunch finish, and a lot of the major chances have come through it. After a bit of toing and froing in this race, I ended up prepared to give Canberra Legend another chance.
Yep.
He was probably ridden a little bit upside down there in the Rosehill Cup. He drew out and he ended up pushing forward and attacking the leader come to the home turn, and probably wasn't the ideal setup for him, you know, first up. So we'll probably give him another chance there, drawn a little bit kinder. He's still down on the 53. He's getting a lot of weight from the likes of New Merion and Stockman up the top of the weight. So... look, I'd like to see some support for him.
Yes.
He was an early drifter and then he firmed again.
Yeah.
Late in the Rosehill Cup. So we'll keep an eye on that. The other horse I wanted to like was Stroke of Luck.
Yeah.
Who comes through the same race. It was placed in the Derby in Queensland to Kovalika earlier in the year. Whether he can run out a strong 2,300 metres, having to go right back, I would imagine, from the outside gate, just a small query, but I just like the way he's going, this preparation.
Yep.
So, I'm going to land on Canberra Legend, but, you know, your Marion, you can make a case for. He's headed to the Perth Cup.
Yep.
After this. Stockman would love it to be a soft five or six, but it's probably just not going to happen. Yep. As you said, Skylab... on the home track. You could make a case for a couple of others. Even Torrens wasn't bad in the same ledger. But look, I'll give Canberra Legend another chance without being particularly confident.
Yeah, I think there's just a few angles in that race where some people might look to find, you know, as you said, how far can Canberra Legend improve, and even a couple of roughies throughout there. But we will move to the Fly in the Ointment, which is the shortest price favourite on the day. We're going to go all the way to the first race. The two-year-olds and Gay Waterhouse has another, and Adrian Bott has another leading fancy in Market Magic. $220.
Look, Mark, interestingly enough, this horse is actually related to Giga Kick.
Yep.
A couple of rows back, I guess you could say. His grand dam is a half sister to Giga Kick, so yep. He's also related to a new stallion called Alabama Express. Who was a handy racehorse as well.
Yes.
We've only seen him once in the barrier trials, and that was a fairly solid win. He didn't lead the trial over 7.37, but he speared through a gap around about the 200 metres and just dashed away. You probably don't need to have two or three trials for a 900-metre race, do you?
No.
He's drawn barrier four, so I'd imagine he'll either lead or be right on the hammer of whatever leads. And how do you fault what Gay and Adrian are doing with their two-year-olds at the moment? Just about every week they bring out a new one, and this is the latest. I'm wary of the two Godolphin horses.
Yeah, Graham looks a really nice horse.
Yeah, and also Averno's Cube a little bit. Eferisto is an interesting one. It's a half relation to Valana and Savatiano.
Oh, really?
Who have both won the Hunter on this day.
Okay, yeah.
Previously. Apparently it means thank you in Greek.
There you go.
Eferisto. Anyway, Graham's also quite well related. So it has a sibling who's a dual stakes winner, Zulfikar, I think it's called. I suppose it would default to Market Magic just simply because he looks like a sharp Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott 2-year-old who you're going to get a good sight from. Wary of the two Godolphins.
Yeah, I'm with him. I think he's a good way to start the day. It's just your typical, very well-educated Waterhouse Bott 2-year-old. I did like how he switched off heels the other day, and not many 2-year-olds can take the gap he did and sprinted through it. So I think he's got a bit of substance to him. I think we'll get better than the 220. If he gets backed in from that quote, he might just be very, very hard to hold out. 230 now, but I think we will get a better price. Graham is the other one, but maybe next preparation. A bit like Cylinder.
Cylinder ran second in this race last year to Fire Lane.
Yep.
He was a big effort there. I think the market comes down to, well, two factors. Whether they back either of the Godolphin horses and what happens with Erno's Cube in the market.
Yeah.
Because it's come up second favourite and, you know, ran in the Gym Crack, had a bit of a tough run, freshened up, trialled okay behind Trafalgar Square. Draws pretty well. Just don't know. I've got a bit of a query about that early two-year-old trial form. You know, we have all those horses like Stampy and...
I do too.
And horses like that just really haven't fired as we all expected. So,
the Gym Crack and the Breeders for Moine were probably just that bit below par.
You're right. The race revolves around Market Magic. He could start in the red or they could try and take him on. I think it's probably more likely he'll be solid than weak in the market.
Alrighty, let's move straight into the rapid fire. Ray, your overs for the weekend.
Yeah, let's go to the highway.
Yes, I like that.
Good to find a few odds of the highway. I didn't mind the chances of Like a Model, number 15.
Yep.
I happened to... highway winners don't often come out of races at Moree, with all due respect to Moree, but... I happened to be watching that afternoon when this horse raced, and Sterling Oslin talked a bit about it beforehand, saying that he expected her to sit right up on the pace and just be kind of too good, and it just didn't work out for her in the race.
Yep.
She just found herself getting shuffled back, having to come wide on the home turn, and she did an enormous job to get up and win on the line, albeit as a $1.80 favourite. She looks like she's crying out for, you know, getting up towards the mile. She was tried at the mile in Victoria with the previous trainers. I just thought from a nice soft gate, she might be able to land in the first sort of four or five and give herself every chance in a race that is pretty open. I didn't mind the, I think she was about $12 to $15 or so in the market last time I looked thereabouts. So look, I thought she was a good each way chance in an open highway where I think the favourite's a bit on the short side.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I actually had something on her that day at Moree and I thought my money was
gone.
And you know, country horses, the way it won, that was a big win. Like for it to keep building and stick its head out, it was a great performance. So I can definitely see your angle there. My overs, I'm going to go to, just let me get the correct race. Race 5, number 6, Pavard. Now, I know it's $4.60 at the moment, but I can mark it close to favourite here. I know I'm in to win. I'm in to win, that is correct. What's the other way people say? I'm in town to win it or something.
Something like that.
Anyway, I just thought it's stepping straight to the 1850. I think Pervade's just going to have its back and it's going to get the last crack at it. And I really liked how Pervade went the other day. I know it had every chance, but it sprinted well. You go back through its form overseas and the 1850 just looks ideal now. It's had the two runs at 1600 metres, collared on, Waller. Just a lot of ticks for me. And it just, the race produced a really high rating last section. So it'll be my best out there actually at Newcastle tomorrow, and yeah, I'm keen to back it to beat the favourite. I just don't have a favourite, but have it a lot closer than the market does at the moment. And your unders?
Yeah, it's a tricky one for an unders. The horse I'm taking on, as opposed to I guess being unders, is Invincible Spy in the Spring Stakes.
Yeah,
he's 2 from 2. He came up favourite. It was at the $4 mark or thereabouts, so he's not exactly a short price favourite. But there is a little bit of depth here, I think, whereas I don't think there's been a lot of depth in his two wins.
Yep.
He's been too good. He's led all the way. You know, he had them running at Gosford their last start, well before the home turn, and held them comfortably as an odds-on favourite. This is a Group 3, but you look at the ratings and, you know, you're talking benchmark 72, basically.
Yeah.
So, look, it's not a massive step, but I just think that there are other ways to go in this race. As opposed to
$4.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I tried to talk myself into Kintyre.
Yep.
But 8th run in the preparation just had me, like, if he was coming into this race after running 4th in the gloaming,
yep,
he'd be $1.50.
Yep.
And an absolute moral. But he had such a gut buster in the Spring Champion, you know, racing wide up near the speed. He boxed on as hard as he could, but he was well beaten a fair way out. But, you know, you look through his form and, you know, he's been beaten under lip by Tom Kitten in the up and coming. And, you know, he's been huge in all those lead ups towards the Spring Champion. And his run in the gloaming was enormous as well.
Yep.
But as he just, you know, this is such an afterthought. I mean, and Gary Portelli has pretty well said it, you know, it's a throw at the stumps.
Yep.
But gee, it wouldn't shock me at all. And the horse I landed on was actually the stablemate to the favourite, which is Sly Boots.
Yes.
I thought that staying at 1,300 metres was probably just caught him out there last start. He was dynamic winning his maiden over 13 at Kenzo and then stayed there, drew wide at 59.5, went back, started favourite. He still ran on pretty well to be beaten a length and 3/4. So he gets back to set weights here against his own age. I can't see him doing anything else but running really well at the end of the mile here. So that was the way I went in that race. So I'm going to take on Invincible Spy.
Yeah, I agree with you there. My unders I'm going to go to the highway as well. I'm going to make rematch.
I thought about
the unders. I know it might be a bit weak, but it is still 6-4. So I'm going to make it the unders. Look, it's a really nice improving type, but barrier 16... I just think the 250, it's very well found. It's going to get back, especially from that gate.
You would imagine so.
I think they have to get back. And I know at Newcastle you can do it, but it's going to be a big task. But it is an improving type, but happy to take it on at the price.
The interesting thing about Newcastle is that we've got to keep an eye on the conditions on the day, because while we think that the track will be in good condition, we've got to consider, and we do this a lot more with particularly Randwick, the impact of the wind.
Yes.
If where the wind is coming from will impact the race pattern on the day. We've had a couple of years there in the Hunter where you Hunter meeting where you've needed to be on the speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's purely due to the wind factor.
Yep.
So we've got to keep an eye on that.
Especially next week down at Kembla if it's windy down there.
Well, that's right.
That is a trap for
that's right.
For people. So you got to no. It's a good point you really do make, especially you get at these tracks.
Yeah, you're right with rematch though. I think he does face a bit of a task. His $1.28 favourite beating the last start at Musselbrook. So yeah, I think they should be taking him on a little bit as well.
Anything out wide or
look, there was a horse at Wellington on Sunday that I
beautiful
that I didn't mind. I'll just have to drag it up here. Yeah, look, obviously the focus on Sunday is at Taree with the big dance qualifier or eligible race there. But at Wellington, race 6, number 3, Smart and Dapper, probably going to come up favourite. But geez, 1,000 metres around Wellington for a horse with this horse's pace, he's going to be hard to run down. He was too slick for him at Musselbrook over the 1,000. Last start was 61. You know, his form's been pretty consistent. I thought he'd give us a great sight at Wellington there in race number 6.
Yeah, today, actually, Gundagai, Snake Gully Cup Day.
Snake Gully Cup, yeah.
Found one. I wish they ran in the class 1, but they've gone to the 58. Race 5, number 11, Stern Words. I think that can hopefully get some cash for us to move in tomorrow. I thought it was a very impressive maiden win the other day. They don't rate much better than that, what it did at Goulburn. So happy to back Stern Words. Now, best bets for the weekend.
Well, I'm going to go to race 9 for my best bet.
Yes.
At Newcastle, Tarvey Time, number 11.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will find this horse a bit of a horror show. His first up run there on the Kenzo, where he was one of the favourites. And it really didn't work out for him from the moment they jumped.
Yeah.
And if you watch the replay of it towards the end of the race, well, it was just... You know, Dylan Gibbons is virtually sitting up on him, not being able to get a crack at him. Whether not having a hard run there goes against him, I'm not sure.
Yep.
But I can see him landing somewhere around about the middle of this pack.
Yep.
He wouldn't have been as far back as he was first up had he not had that little bit of a check at the start. But, yeah, look, I like his chances. And speaking to Chris Lees during the week, he did mention this horse as one of his better chances on the day. So... I'll go with him, Tarvey Time in race 9.
I'm probably being a little bit cheeky. I'm going to have 4 best bets.
4 best bets?
Over the weekend.
All right, just stick your neck out.
Well, purely because tonight I'm covering Canterbury, so I have to have a best bet.
Yep.
That's going to be race 4, number 2, Willinga Freefall. I think he's ready to peak third up. I think he's going to go forward. Tim Clark on. It's going to be hard to catch. It's got really good provincial championship form lines for a race like tonight. Obviously, you have to have a best bet at Newcastle, being the feature meeting. As I said before, race 5, number 6, Pavard. Perfect map. Jason Collardon, I think, can bounce off that last start effort. Got it close to almost favourite. Now we go to Bathurst on Saturday. Race 3, number 1, Fletchlow. No prices out yet. It might come up really short, so... but I loved its win there last start. It's another improver. And then we can add yours at Wellington. But Taree, race 5, number 6, Solutionist, short odds, but I think should be very... I should almost think it's a 2s on pop. So I'm happy to back it around the $1.90, $2 mark. So Canterbury, race 4, number 2, Willinga, 3-4, Newcastle, 5-6, Pavard, Bathurst, 3-1, Fletchlow, and Taree, race 5, number 6, Solutionist. There you go. 4 best bets for me over the weekend, Ray.
Jeez. All right, well, good luck with those.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm sure there's plenty of bets to be had, and I think it's great that we're out at Newcastle tomorrow. You'll be up there.
Yep, I'll be up there, and I guess we wrap up what we call the Spring Carnival next week at Kembla, and it'll be the last edition of the B set for the time being.
Yep.
And we might reload for the Autumn Carnival.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Well, good luck to everyone out there having a bet, and best of luck.